You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Oh, God. It's never going away. It's never going to go away. Oh, thank you, Auburn women's basketball, for that today. Oh, man. Turn your microphone back on. No. You're
Happy
not getting
Thursday,
away from it.
Thursday, everybody. Yeah. Hope you're doing well here as we get you underway.
God, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Auburn women's basketball, for the reason that Auburn is going viral today.
We knew it was going to happen with it being, Education Day, or yeah. I forget exactly how they described it, but in case you were not tuned in or weren't able to tune in, Auburn women's basketball was on our airwaves this morning. Britt Bowen got the day started here on ESPN with Auburn women's basketball. They got a big win over Mississippi Valley State. So we did not, of course, have the Max Roundtable, but this is On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins. He's Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on, pretty much a perfect Thursday in Auburn Opelika. Sunny, 70 degrees, not a cloud in the sky, man. It's a gorgeous day here in Auburn Opelika. And for the majority of people listening that have kids or grandkids who understand or have at least heard the 6-7 memes, right, there are clips going around on social media of Auburn women's basketball player hitting a free throw for Auburn to get to 67 points.
Again, on Education Day.
With 3,000-plus students. I think Britt said, I heard him say, this was like the fourth highest attendance ever for an Auburn women's basketball game. They had over 5,000 people there today. Most of them were elementary school kids who got out of school and had a chance to go and watch Auburn women's basketball. But when the Tigers hit a free throw to score 67 points, the place went bonkers.
It sounded like Miles Kelly in the corner after Janai Broome got blocked, got the rebound, kicked it out, and Miles hits the three against Tennessee with 30 seconds to play. That was about the crowd pop.
Problem is, our buddy Britt Bowen didn't even address it.
No.
Didn't even acknowledge what was going on.
I know he knows.
Oh, well, he knows. He's got kids. He knows. He works at the university. He knows. I don't get it, man.
Credit to him for not breaking, though. No giggle, no.
Couldn't be me. No. Clearly, couldn't be me. You don't help. I don't think Dr. Larry DeShera looked at him and smiled when he said 67, but the way that you did for me when I said 106.7. But anyway, happy Thursday. Glad that you're with us. We're glad to be here.
That's why we're not in the same booth anymore.
No, yeah. God, could you imagine if we were calling games right now with 6-7? Oh, jeez.
Not even that, just in general.
Yeah, good times. But that's okay. lots of stuff to get to on today's show. Thursdays during football season are always jam-packed. We have three guests today. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30, Coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football at 3, and then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC at 3:30. And before, during, after, in between, all the way around, we're going to try and give you the best content that we can. Reminder that this is our last show of the week, okay? We are not on the air tomorrow. Same way the Max Roundtable was not on today, we are not on tomorrow. They were on, we just didn't carry it today because of women's basketball, but we are not having a show tomorrow, all right? It'll be ESPN programming. Freddie and Harry will be playing during our show slot. The Max Roundtable will be back. The drive is on per usual, but with us both traveling for high school football playoffs tomorrow, we are not doing our show. So this is our last show of the week. And since there is no free-for-all Friday, no Lee Sterling, we tried to get it rescheduled, but we're unable to get that done. And so no Lee Sterling, no free-for-all Friday. But we decided to start today's show with our game picks because we still need to do that, right? We normally do that on Friday afternoons at 3 o'clock, but we're going to move that up and start today's show with it. So the first 25 minutes or so, we're going to make our 10 picks for college football this weekend. We both had incredible weeks last week. Christian went 8-2. I went 9-1. We'll try to improve on that before we just start rocking and rolling with guests like Brad Law, Keith Etheridge, Chris Gordy, take a look at some basketball games, a couple of football storylines as well. So I don't think it's possible for us to squeeze more into 2 hours, but we'll see if we can here on this Thursday edition of On the Line, November 13th of 2025. All right, sir, we got 10 games. Let's jump into it. Again, we do this on Fridays in the 3 o'clock hour, but we're moving it up with no show tomorrow. We do have a game tomorrow night in college football that you and I will get a score update from our broadcast partners, but won't have this one on at any time because we'll be on the air at the same time. But we start in the ACC with the Clemson Tigers. Yes, they're still playing football. And Louisville, who is still ranked in the top 25 at 20th in the college football playoff poll, where Louisville is favored by less than a field goal tomorrow night at home against Clemson. We start with a Friday night ACC matchup.
This is Dabo's team, isn't it? Isn't this Dabo's team? Even though he said if they fired me, it wouldn't even surprise him at this point.
This is Dabo's team.
It's Dabo's team. They're going to fight for him.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
No. It's a get-back game for Louisville after falling to Cal. In overtime.
That's a bad loss.
It was a very bad loss. And did you see how Cal beat Louisville?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With the same play
that
Harsin lost to Alabama in four overtimes.
Yep.
With the little dig route, one-on-one. Yeah, hurt to watch. But, no.
I mean,
this,
good for him, honestly.
Honestly. Louisville ranks 79th in scoring and they're 86th. Enforcing turnovers. No, Clemson is. I apologize. They've only forced 10 turnovers all season long. I think this could be a really funky game with it being a Friday game. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if they've confirmed it, but this will be the type of game that Louisville wears their all-black uniforms and goes the complete blackout. And why not turn it into a big recruiting weekend after you just beat Kentucky at home as well? This could be a very funky game, but I will take the home team to win and to cover.
Last time Louisville played on a Friday, you know what they did? They went to Miami and got a win over the number two team in the country, 24-21. I think they double down on a Friday night with the Louisville Cardinals. Here's what's frustrating about that team, though. Man, you had everything in front of you. Louisville was going to punch their ticket to the college football playoffs, and they lost to Brian Harsin in California.
Yeah.
They were going to beat Clemson, beat SMU, and beat Kentucky, a one-loss ACC team with a win over the second-ranked team in the country. You were going to the college football playoffs, and you let Brian Harsin's offense beat you at home, by the way. That's brutal. It is. But I think Louisville bounces back. I like the Cards here. I like them to win. I like them to cover tomorrow night against Clemson.
Moving on to the 11 o'clock games. Again, it's one of those slates that is interesting. You have a couple really, really good games that obviously highlight everything.
Great games, yeah.
Even throughout, even the 11 o'clock games and the kind of games that are in between are still really, really solid. We kick it off with the 11 o'clock game, one that we've talked a little bit about over the past couple of days, a little bit comically with the way that Pitt's head coach is going in to this game, where it's not a must-win for Pitt because this will be their third loss, but as long as they beat the remaining teams in the ACC, their final two opponents, then they'll be fine. Notre Dame, the spread has swelled up to 12.5. They go on the road in what is a must-win game for the Irish.
I think they do. I think they win. I think everything points towards them. shame on TV for making this the 11 a.m. game for Pittsburgh. That's one of the more underrated college football atmospheres.
For game day, too.
Yeah, I agree. So, which means I'm sure they'll do the last hour of the show inside the stadium. It's what they typically do for these games, like when they go to Ohio State and things like that.
Yeah.
Look, when Pittsburgh football is good, talking about college, obviously, that atmosphere is awesome. The fans are insane, okay? They're crazy. And that place is a lot of fun, and I wish that this was the afternoon or evening game.
Sure.
But regardless, I can't get over the head coach. I can't get over that comment. That's wild to me. That's borderline fireable for me. Like, you can't be saying those things. I don't care if that's how you meant it or not. I think
I don't know how else you could mean it, because
that's pretty bad.
For those that missed it, I'll try and pull up the quote again. I mean, it's...
They asked him if this was a must-win game, and he said...
And
he didn't
no.
just say no. He said, absolutely not, did the head coach of the Pittsburgh Panthers. That's
yeah.
just not cool.
He said, absolutely not. They could put up 100 on us as long as we win our next two games after that.
So, yeah, I am
But then followed
out.
It by saying... But our focus is still fully on Notre Dame.
Yeah, okay. I'm not listening or I'm not paying attention to any other coaching jobs that are out there. My full focus is on this team. Yay. Whatever, dude. Give me Notre Dame. I don't like it, but Notre Dame's going to win because Pittsburgh won't be ready. The coach is clearly not ready, and Notre Dame has to have this more than Pittsburgh does. Give me Notre Dame, plus I just think they're the better football team.
11 o'clock helps Notre Dame.
Big time.
As well, I expect this to be a higher scoring game. Both of these teams rank in the bottom half of passing yards allowed on the defensive side of the football, but with it being a must-win for Notre Dame and whatever Pittsburgh's mentality is. Yeah, I don't know if I love as much the 12.5 as I did the 10.5, maybe even an alternate spread of 9.5. But
yeah.
I will still take the Irish to win. And for the sake of entertainment, I will take the Irish to cover as well.
Looking at the biggest game in G5 this week, it's South Florida and Navy again. We're doing our 10 game picks for the week. Since we are not on the air tomorrow, our show is off. We normally make these picks on Friday afternoon, so we wanted to make sure we get them in, and we're doing so to start the show today. South Florida and Navy. This one also at 11 a.m. tomorrow. 24th ranked Bulls going on the road to Maryland, to Annapolis, Maryland, taking on Navy there at the Academy. This is a big G5 game, Christian. This is two teams that for a lot of this season have had their sights on the college football playoff, and as of right now, South Florida still trying to be that team, still trying to be the lone representative out of the G5 to get into the college football playoff. If they win, they survive. If they lose, someone may take their spot.
What an awesome game that is going to be. Credit again to South Florida for having the team that's going to make Navy at home a really cool environment. Rather than it being one of the games that just kind of goes by the wayside, there's going to be millions of people that are tuning in to this game mm-hmm. for the reason of, yes, a great G5 game, but just a great game, great teams in general. South Florida just has too much talent on the football field. Navy's not built for playing from behind. I love Blake Horvath and everything that he gives to Navy, but you saw what his lack of presence did with the injury, not playing against Notre Dame. Lost 49-10 in a game that had just about everybody picking Navy to cover the 28.5 or whatever the case may be, or the case was. He then was ruled out. Notre Dame steamrolled in the second half. If Blake can play, I think they can give South Florida at least a little bit of a shot. Otherwise, I think South Florida is just able to run away with this. Give me Byron Brown to have another big day. Maybe not necessarily through the air, but a big day on the ground with his legs.
See, you were talking about Navy's offense. I worry about Navy's defense stopping South Florida. Navy has given up a bunch of yards and a bunch of points this year. They've just been able to flat out outscore folks. I just don't think they're going to be able to do so in this game, even at home, okay? Navy giving up 49, 31, 32, 31, 31. A lot of those are even in wins, okay? They've just obviously scored more than their opponent more times than not. I just don't think they could win a shootout with South Florida on Saturday. So I'll take the Bulls to win. What's that spread? 9.5? I don't love that. I don't love that. I think this is a who has the football last type of game or who gets one or two stops along the way. I'll take Navy to cover at home, but I like South Florida to get the win.
What was I'm trying to find his numbers against UTSA last weekend. I mean,
for
it was
Byron Brown.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, he numbers, started like 7 of 7 for 180 yards and had 100 rushing yards as well.
Yeah,
he went 14 of 15, 239, and had 109 rushing yards.
So I'm saying I don't think Navy can't stop him.
USF lives on the big play. Navy won't be able
to
shut it down. So we have three games. We're going to need you to pick somebody different than me this week. Maybe it can happen here. Arizona.
Maybe that's my strategy.
And Cincinnati, the 25th ranked Bearcats, favored by 6.5. Again, another great 11 o'clock game.
My Bearcats, man.
Can Brett Sorsby get it done once again?
God, I don't know. I put a lot of stock in them when they went on the road. I didn't love it, but that was when we were at Rally House when I picked them when they were going on the road to Utah, and that did not go well. And I still think Cincinnati is a really good football team, and I don't trust Arizona as much, okay? But Cincinnati's got to figure it out because 45-14 against Utah was not cool, but that was 2 weeks ago. And Cincinnati's coming off the bye. I like the Bearcats back at home. Nippert Stadium is one of the most unique places to play in the country. Give me the Bearcats to win. What's that spread? 6.5? Yeah. Give me the Bearcats to cover.
I love Noah Fifita and his ability to take care of the football. You're looking at his stats. He completes 64% of his passes, has thrown for 2,200 yards, 23 touchdowns, has 4 interceptions, 3 rushing touchdowns. As well, he has also got a pretty good counterpart in Ismail Mahdi, who averages 6.5 yards per carry, almost 600 yards on the year, and also averages right around, I guess only, I thought I said 113, only 11 receiving yards per game. But you have guys like Trey Spivey and Jalen Watley that can play a big factor. I expect Arizona to be able to make some plays defensively to keep this close. They are 10th in the country. They have forced 18 turnovers. But a game-winning field goal, a game-winning drive for the Bearcats.
All right.
They're able to get it done on the road, but I will take Arizona to cover.
Okay, I like it. Let's pick one more rapid fire here before we get to break. Just for comical purposes, I don't want to dive super deep into this game, but we put it on the list. Florida goes to Oxford this weekend.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
You had to put it on there.
I wish this game was in the swamp. I would love to watch Lane Kiffin walk into that stadium.
We want Lane.
And the fans completely cheer for him.
Oh, yeah.
And Ole Miss, they would be chanting his name the entire time.
Especially if Florida won, too. Oh, my gosh.
I think Florida's just broken, man. Kentucky broke that team last week. That was bad. That will go down, I think, as one of the worst losses for Florida football in a long time, to just get embarrassed by a really bad Kentucky. I mean, imagine losing to Kentucky, right? Just how terrible would that be? I like Ole Miss big. I think Ole Miss will do what they need to do and get this done.
Yeah, this could be one of the games that Trinidad Chambliss doesn't even really need to do a whole lot. I think Florida has a good enough defense to hang around. But in the second half, I think that Ole Miss tries to just control the clock, control the tempo, and get out with an easy win.
Yep. All right, we're making our 10-game picks of the week. Again, no show tomorrow for us when we normally do this on Friday, so we're starting the Thursday show with it. If you have picks that you want to make or a game that has your interest, shoot us a text in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. We'll pick more games, including a big one in the SEC, when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Reminder, we have three guests joining us on the show today, beginning with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network in about 10 minutes. So keep that in mind. Be sure you stay tuned for that. We'll talk to him about all things Auburn athletics with football on a bye week. Talk about what the coaching search has been and his thoughts on DJ Durkin so far and what the Tigers are looking to do in the final two games of the season. Plus, we'll talk to him about Auburn basketball, still undefeated, and a big game against Houston coming up on Sunday. So we'll talk to Brad coming up in just a couple of minutes. But we are making our 10 game picks of the week. Again, we normally do it on Fridays. No show tomorrow, so we're knocking it out to start the show today. Still got to rapid fire some of these, and we'll do so yet again. This spread is closer than I thought in this Big 12 matchup. TCU and BYU, the late night game on Saturday, 3.5 for BYU here. I figured this would be more, but maybe they know something we don't. TCU's not bad. They're 6-3, 3-3 in Big 12 play. The total for this game is 50.5 points, so they like these teams to score. BYU's at home, though, and Provo's a weird place to play. BYU's got to keep winning to keep playoff hopes alive. I like BYU here. I like BYU to cover.
I unfortunately do as well. I have some major ties to TCU. I am a big fan of Mr. Eric McAllister for no main reason, just love his talents. He is one of the best receivers in college football. 48 grabs, 134 yards, 8 touchdowns, averages right around 100 receiving yards a game. Josh Hoover completes 65% of his passes, 23 touchdowns. However, does have 8 interceptions. And you mentioned it, Provo, just a very weird place to play, especially at night. You feel like usually this game is flipped and TCU would be the 12th ranked team and BYU would get that upset at home. BYU averages only or allows only 18 points a game. TCU's defense isn't as good. It could be a little bit of a higher scoring game, but I expect a big bounce back for Bear Bachmeyer and the Cougars of BYU.
Another quick one here. Utah, 13th ranked team in the country, another Big 12 matchup. They are heading to Waco to take on the Baylor Bears tomorrow night. Baylor season has just not been what they thought it was going to be. Some people had that team going to the Big 12 championship game in the college football playoff. Imagine doing that, picking the Bears to be.
Some teams beat them really early and expected that to be like a big resume builder.
Imagine, God, how crazy would that be? Baylor's 5-4 on the year, folks. 5-4. But yet, they could still score points. And they're at home against Utah, where the Utes are favored anywhere from, I've seen 6.5, 7.5. I've seen it as high as 8 as well. Would this not be the most Baylor Big 12 thing ever for the Bears to get this win and hurt one of the teams who's trying to make an argument for the college football playoff, right? I don't think Utah has a legitimate argument, especially with some of the other teams in front of them in their own conference, but wouldn't this just be the most Big 12 thing ever to cannibalize itself and get this win? So much so, Christian Griffin, I'm going to pick it.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I'm taking Baylor. Give me Baylor to win for no reason.
Type it in so I can see it.
For no other reason
than
college football chaos.
See, I think that they could, but they're not going to. Devin Dampier, if all Utah does is copy what Auburn did in their strategy and they allow teams to run the football and they allow Dampier to get a full head of steam going downhill, zone reads, quarterback reads, I think Utah could dominate this game. Even more so, they're not going to let Baylor win because of the allegations with the athletic director for Baylor that are going on.
I saw that.
Right now. Yeah. They're not going to let Baylor win this football game. Yeah, CFP chair steps down and take a personal leave of absence after verbal and physical altercations, and just continue with allegations to come out. Sawyer Robertson is one of the best pocket passers in the quarterback. I think this could be a higher scoring game. I'm going to take Utah to win. I'll take Utah to cover.
Wow. Okay. We got a couple of minutes before we get to break. We'll probably save a couple of these games for the end of the hour after Brad.
We'll pick the two SEC games after.
Okay. All right. We'll do.
We could even do them with Chris.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll definitely get his thoughts.
Yeah. So what, the Big Ten game then?
I think so. Yeah.
Iowa, USC, number 21, Iowa, 17th ranked USC. Iowa, another really good close loss for the Hawkeyes.
Only their third.
Glad we've got them ranked in the top 25. Glad we're celebrating close losses here in the Big Ten. Tell me that that's not what they do best in the North. USC has to win here to, again, keep any sort of hope alive of making the college football playoff, because they do have a shot, okay? They still have a shot. If they win this game, they play Oregon next on the road in Eugene. They could pick up that win and be right back in the discussion. They end with UCLA. That's at home in the road, or in the Coliseum. It's supposed to be nasty weather in Southern California on Saturday, and I think that weirdly enough benefits Iowa, but I don't think they can stop Maiava even if it is raining. Give me USC, man.
I think USC to win and cover as well. Iowa got punched in the mouth last week. It's that emotional hangover. Now you have to go on the road across the country. King Miller, with all of the running back injuries, has stepped up and has played really, really good football. USC, a must-win game for them, even with the weather, even if Maiava and Mekhi Lemon don't play a big factor. I'll take USC to win and cover.
Two more games to pick once we're done with Brad Law, but he joins us next from the Auburn Sports Network to talk football, basketball, and a whole lot more.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we get to our first guest of the afternoon. He is Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Makes things run smoothly over there. And we have really enjoyed another year in conjunction with them for Auburn football, men and women's basketball. We'll have baseball coming up in the spring as well. Brad, what's going on in your world, man? Crossover season is in full swing, my man.
Yeah, we've got we had women's basketball today, as y'all are obviously well aware, and men's basketball coming up Sunday, and then two more home football games, and basketball's going out to Las Vegas. The month of November is the most wonderful time of the year for a reason.
Well, what is the broadcast/travel plans for everything? You mentioned basketball, of course, going up to Birmingham on Sunday, then out to Vegas the week of Thanksgiving, and then, of course, football is home for a couple of weekends. I mean, how are you guys splitting all that up in terms of the broadcast crews?
Yeah, there's not a lot of split. I do my work for basketball in the studio, mm-hmm. For road games, and so I'll be back here. Andy Burcham's going to be getting all those miles, and he and Randall Dickey have the call Sunday from Birmingham against Houston, and then they will go out to Vegas and do all of that. And so he will be jet-setting all over the country to bring you Auburn sports wherever they play.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on. Again, crossover season is upon us. Christian and I are dealing with the same thing on the high school level. And so it is it's not easy, but, man, we love what we do, and I know you guys are the same way. So let's talk about what's going on in the world of Auburn athletics. And we'll start with the football side of things because it's a bye week, and Auburn does not have a game. There hasn't been a whole lot of media availability either, but it's more so on the feeling around the program, Brad. From what you saw last Saturday against Vanderbilt, it clearly was different than what we've seen recently, and now you've got two more games to try and build some momentum for the offseason. Where are you at right now, just in general, with Auburn football, with how everything has gone down?
I was flabbergasted, quite frankly. I mean, I thought the offense would probably get a spark and a bump and play a little better against Vanderbilt. If I was really honest, really transparent, I probably expected them to be 4 to 6 to 7 points better. I thought maybe 20, you could get to 20, maybe 24. I didn't expect 38 points. You know, Derek Nix clearly showed some of those Lane Kiffin roots. And truthfully, you know, kind of more what Hugh Freeze's offense looked like before the last couple of years at Auburn. And it was something. I mean, to see those quick decisions made, right decisions made, the change on the offensive line and personnel, the change in the way Cam Coleman and Malcolm and Eric Singleton were used within the offense. It was really impressive to watch. And so I think based on that alone, the fact that that was done with essentially 4 days' time to prepare gives me a great deal of optimism and a lot of intrigue, too. Like that Mercer game becomes now really compelling. I can't wait till next Saturday to find out what the offense, what the team looks like in game two under this current configuration of the coaching staff.
Well, a big conversation we had yesterday, Brad, here on the show was about the quarterback room, right? Because with 2 weeks to go, there's a lot on the table. And DJ Durkin, he addressed it yesterday during the SEC coaches teleconference that they were basically looking at all options here, whether it is Ashton Daniels to play one or two more games with his red shirt on the line, or you put Deuce Knight in for just his second game of his career, or you go back to Jackson Arnold. I mean, do you have a prediction on what you think might happen for the last two games for Auburn at quarterback in a clearly different and new offensive system?
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't have a prediction, don't have a guess, and wouldn't want to have to touch that decision with a 10-foot pole. I think it's really – look, I respect – well, I mean, I respect every side of it. I understand the side that you play for your future, and Deuce Knight, true freshman – if he goes out and he doesn't play well against Mercer, then maybe you know that, you know, you don't build next year around him. Maybe, but you also might have entirely different coaches next year. Or you might not. You don't know who's going to coach him next year. Like, if DJ Durkin stays as the head coach, does he retain the rest of the offensive staff, or is it the same system? I don't know. I don't know the answer to those things. But so I get that side of it. I also get the side of it that says you do everything you can for this team who's been working hard since the winter for this season to go make the most of every game that you have left this year. And you know, does that mean the more experience, your QB1 needs to play regardless of what happens next year? I get that side of it too. So I don't think – like anybody who says, well, this is an easy decision, I think they're being a little short-sighted. I think they're kind of trying not to look at all sides of it. It's a really complex decision.
We have Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines, as we do every single Thursday at 2:30. And, Brad, the interest regarding the Auburn head coaching job is obviously extremely high, with John Cohen continuing to make comments saying that he's already had interviews and meetings with 7 or 8 sitting head football coaches right now. And Jacob and I had a little bit of conversation with it yesterday just about the brutality of what recruiting is and how you use pitches from other schools against themselves to make players want to come to your school. Obviously, in the coaching world, it happens the exact same way. If you were John Cohen, or if you were a voice that had a say in these interviews, what would be your pitch for the Auburn job of why head coaches should decide on Auburn rather than possibly going somewhere else?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, Christian. I think a few years ago, if you remember the reports about Brent Venables before he ultimately went to Oklahoma, there were questions about the alignment from the president to the athletic director down through the athletic department and into the football program. I've been around this place 2 different stints. I've been back 10 years now in my second stint. I don't know that I've ever seen better alignment from the top down, and that matters. I mean, when you go to some of these programs that are enjoying success, most of those coaches will start with alignment from the athletic, from the president to the AD on down. Well, Auburn has that. Auburn doesn't have to take a back seat in NIL offerings to anybody else in the country. They don't have to take a back seat at all. They have plenty of opportunity there. They have a fan base who has watched the team fall below 500 for the last, you know, what, four times in 5 years or 5 years in a row, whatever kind of run we're on now. And they're still selling out venues. And they're still going to Nashville. They're selling out home games, and they're driving 5 hours away for a game against a top 20 opponent that a lot of people don't give them a chance in, with the first game with an interim head coach, and half the stadium is orange. So when are they going to burn out? When are they going to tap out? Well, a few may have, but the majority haven't. So from fan base to alignment to resources to everything else, this job doesn't take a backseat to any job open around the country.
Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. We now look to the basketball side of things, Brad, where it's been a very busy start of the season for Auburn, and another win for Stephen Pearl. Excuse me, my goodness. After a sketchy opener, a couple of nice wins to get back in line, and Auburn does so with Wofford the other night. Of course, Houston coming up this weekend. We'll get to that in just a moment. But differences in the Wofford game that you saw for Auburn basketball that were good that stood out to you?
Yeah, you're starting to see a little more alignment with the offense. My guys are starting to look a little more at ease with their roles within the offense. That's good to see. You're going to have that, especially if it's going to be a team where they're stronger offensively than defensively. Then you need the guys to be able to play in rhythm and, you know, to shoot the percentage they shot against Wofford. I don't know what the final percentage was. At one time, I made this note in the second half. Tahad struggled shooting the ball. And if you took away his, like, 3-for-17 or 4-for-17, everybody else on the team shot 67% for the game. That's crazy. That's insane. And we're not talking first 5 minutes. This is for 35 minutes or so of a basketball game. So they're in rhythm. And, you know, the Tahad piece will come. We know what kind of player Tahad is. So, I think it looks more about being in rhythm and in sync and knowing your roles within the offense. That's what stood out the most to me about that game.
Well, we know Tahad, again, you mentioned, is planning on stepping up in Sunday. Last year against Houston was his welcome to college basketball moment, where the world took notice of the freshman, now the sophomore guard, who we've mentioned has had his little bit of struggles. But even during his freshman campaign, shot much better from the field elsewhere than other than Neville Arena, and even more so in these bigger games. You now get the number one team in the country who has a much higher percentage chance to win, according to the ESPN analytics, which we all know that we love looking at and taking really, really seriously. But from an Auburn fan base perspective, why would you have a bye week without having to stress another big time win in that weekend? What do you want to see from Auburn on Sunday as they take on Houston?
You know, you got a lot of guys on this team that have played against Houston, whether it was, you know, Kevin Overton, or Keyshawn has played against Houston as a member of UCF, and certainly Tahad last year. So especially KO, though, he said he's been telling guys for like a week and a half, when you go play Houston and the ball goes up, that's when you really have to play. It's rebounding. Rebounding is the key. Now, Auburn has enjoyed a huge advantage in rebounding over its opponents this year. Auburn has, like, two of the three opponents didn't really have a major inside presence. Houston is an entirely different dynamic. They have a totally different approach to rebounding and physicality and hustle and toughness and grit. And Auburn will need to match that or come close to matching it if they want to win this game. It's really going to be Houston's defense or Auburn's offense that dictate this game. If Auburn can get up and down and get into a shooting match, kind of the way Florida did in the NCAA tournament last year, then it can go Auburn's way. You can get an advantage and try to pull away. If Houston is able to grind the game down, get second shots offensively, win the rebounding battle, and keep the game in the 50s or 60s even, then they have the advantage. So, you know, Auburn's pace, depth, shooting the ball well, but especially rebounding is going to have to be there.
Auburn basketball takes on Houston this Sunday afternoon. That could be heard over on Wings 94.3. Of course, no football this weekend. Off for that, but basketball Sunday, and then another loaded week next week. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network with us here on ESPN 106.7. Plug it on, my friend. Tell people what they need to know for the next, I guess, for the next week or so.
Yeah, we'll just start with Sunday. Be with us at 1:30 on Wings 94.3 Sunday afternoon. Andy Bertram, Randall Dickey in Birmingham to bring you Auburn and Houston, a top 25 game. It's the only ranked matchup on Sunday, so check that out. Tip off 2:05, and man, then we have Tiger Talk on Monday and men's basketball against Jackson State Wednesday of next week before we're able to visit again.
Well, there's a lot going on, and we appreciate you taking the time to speak with us as always, my man. Enjoy a Saturday off before you're in studio on Sunday afternoon.
We will absolutely take advantage of that. Always a pleasure to be with you guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday, 2:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and make our final game picks of the week before we get into hour number two, where we'll talk with head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football. That's coming up here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. He's with us every Thursday, 2:30, throughout all the athletic seasons, football, basketball, baseball. I know the Fall World Series has been going on for Auburn baseball a little bit. And, man, really looking forward to that season getting started come the spring. And, of course, basketball off and running, football, a couple of games to go. And speaking of a couple of games to go, we have, what, two more games to pick? Is that right, to wrap up the hour, Christian? Two
yeah, games. Both SEC games.
Yeah, two more games to pick for our weekly pick'em that we do here on the show, where we pick the 10 best games, most intriguing games in college football, and make our picks for the week. And we do it usually on Fridays at 3 o'clock, but if you missed the announcement or just the news that we've talked about, we are not on the air tomorrow, no On the Line tomorrow, as we are both traveling for...
We dang sure are on the air tomorrow.
Well, yeah, we're on the air, just not for the show. We will not be here from 2 to 4 tomorrow. Our friends Freddie and Harry will be on for us instead. So we are going to be traveling for high school football, so no On the Line tomorrow, so we're making our picks today. We started that in the beginning of the hour, and of course it takes us longer than 30 minutes, as it always does. So we have two more games to pick, and we're going to do that in the next 4.5 minutes. So let's see if we can make it happen. Which one do you want to go with? You want to go to Tuscaloosa or you want to go to Athens?
We'll start with the afternoon game.
Okay, we'll go to Tuscaloosa. It is number 11 Oklahoma on the road facing off against the 4th-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide. And you look at this matchup, and again, I've been kind of talking about playoff implications because that's where we are in the season. Oklahoma still trying to make an argument, Christian, still trying to make a push. And if they win this game, they're going to have one of the best wins in the nation. Alabama looking to stay right where they are, looking to make themselves as a top four seed and maybe solidify that this week.
Yeah, it's two of the best pass defenses in the country, and even more so, you feel like it favors Oklahoma on that side of things just because of the struggles that Alabama's had running the football, especially as of late. Oklahoma, not necessarily a team that wants to rely on the run, but you feel like it benefits them a little bit more just because of the athleticism that John Mateer brings and his ability to maneuver the pocket, get outside the pocket, and just make plays with his legs. I think more of that pass defense, though, has been helped by Oklahoma's front four, front seven. Auburn saw that firsthand of how good those guys are and the rush that they bring. I think this game, 6.5. I think Oklahoma covers. I think Oklahoma finds a way to make this a close game, but I think a fourth quarter turnover, the one thing that Oklahoma has been a little bit more prone to do, even more so in the bigger games, allows Alabama to sneak out a win.
I'm going to make this very simple. I'm taking the better quarterback here, and I'm taking Ty Simpson. folks, he's playing at a Heisman level right now. And people, especially in this town, don't want to admit that and don't want to have to give that information up. But Ty Simpson is one of the betting favorites right now to win the Heisman Trophy for good reason. Guys, he is approaching 2,500 yards on the season. He has 21 passing touchdowns and has thrown it to the wrong team once. One time.
In the opener.
He's playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the country, and I'm taking him to roll again in this game. Give me Alabama to win. They'll have to fight for it, but I like Alabama to pull away in this matchup.
And the 6:30 game, what is probably the biggest game of the week, if you're not including Oklahoma and Alabama, Texas and Georgia. Georgia, a 6.5-point favorite at home between the hedges in Athens. Once again, the 6:30 kick. Last year, this was a game that carried a whole lot of drama to Austin, and it was Quinn Ewers, it was Arch Manning, and then it was Quinn Ewers once again, where the Dogs ended up comfortably winning that one by 2 scores. Can Arch Manning and Steve Sarkisian, who that's the reason he's the head coach, is because of his offensive play calling and his identity, can he find a way to get the job done? Because Texas in a very, very similar spot that OU is in as well.
Ain't no way Texas goes on the road and beats Georgia in Athens between the hedges.
Do I smell something?
Ain't no way Texas can hang with the Dogs at night in Athens, Georgia. Ain't no way that Georgia finds a way to lose this game as almost touchdown favorites, right?
Is this a Pat McAfee, gimme Alabama type situation?
Gimme Georgia. Come on now. Gimme Georgia, man. Don't.
Who's that guy?
Ladies and gentlemen, don't overthink this. Don't overthink this. Who's the better team? It's Georgia. And it's not even close. Georgia is one of the best teams in the country. And I don't know why people have forgotten that, but they are. They'll remind you in this game. Georgia's going to win. Folks, Georgia is going to destroy Texas. Georgia is going to embarrass Texas. Sark might be thinking about another job after this game, and it might be on the Georgia staff. Give me the Dogs to win, Dogs to roll at night, and those barking adults will be so obnoxious, you'll hear it through the television. Give me Georgia big.
The Georgia adults.
Barking adults.
Oh, okay. I forgot that. I didn't know if that was similar to the Disney adults and just how they're thrown into their own separate category.
That's a whole different group of people. Yeah. Weirdly enough, they have some similarities, though, if you really think about it.
Give me Georgia to win. This could be very similar to what you've seen a majority of the games play. A very slow, methodical, death by a thousand cuts. Mike Bobo has enough playmakers out wide that where he can play it relatively safe. And give me the quarterback that will be more physical and is willing to put his body on the line to get a first down and get the win for Gunnar Stockman in Georgia.
Hour number one's in the books. Stick around. Head coach Keith Etheridge joins us coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on a gorgeous day here in the Auburn-Opelika area. And if you missed any of our number one, we made our 10 picks for the week in college football. Since we will not be on the air tomorrow, went ahead and made those picks today for the 10 best games in college football. Plus, we spoke with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network about Auburn football, Auburn basketball, and beyond. And so if you missed any of that, you can go and check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. In hour number two, we continue with a guest-heavy show as we get to the phone lines, as we do every single Thursday during football season. We kick off the second hour with one of my favorite guys in the world, man. Head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football joins us on the phone lines now as they are preparing to head down to Daphne tomorrow to take on the Trojans. What's going on, Coach? How are you on this Thursday?
What's up, Jacob? How's it going, brother?
Going good, man. We are just happy to have you back on the show. I didn't want last week to be our last conversation over the air, but you and your guys made sure that wasn't the case.
Heck no, man. It was awesome. Awesome win Friday night, and just a great time to be a Tiger right now.
Well, it was a ton of fun last week at Duck Sanford Stadium on Friday night, where you and your team hosted Vestavia Hills in the first round of the 7A Alabama High School football playoffs. It was a rematch, like we talked about, from week two of the season. Vestavia made the return trip, and I got to get your thoughts, Coach, on what you were thinking after the first quarter, where you were in a 21-0 hole at home in the first round of that Vestavia team. I mean, what was going through your mind right then?
Score some points. Get some points on the board. Stop them. No, our kids never panic, man, the whole time. You know, they just came out, put their nose to the grindstone from the second quarter on and, got back in that game. But it was, it kind of started like the first game we played them.
Yeah.
Made some mistakes. They capitalized on those mistakes and just, we had to overcome a lot.
Well, when a team like Vestavia, they won the toss, they took the football, went right down the field, then we fumbled the ball, they scored on that, a blocked punt for the short field, they scored on that. I mean, you had to feel like, yeah, you were in a hole, but it was a lot of things that you and your guys could have worked on and done better, and then you did, right? 21 unanswered points in the second quarter, and then just a total shootout in the second half. I mean, you and I talked earlier this morning, this is one of the craziest games either one of us has ever been a part of.
Yeah, it was crazy. We did a good job. Our coaches did a really good job of adjusting after that first quarter, making some adjustments. Kids did a really good job of taking those adjustments and implementing them and just playing real well after that first quarter. Getting in a 21-point hole is bad, but it's really bad against a team as good as Vestavia.
Yeah, well, you guys were able to come out of that and win 52-41 in just one of the greatest high school football games you're ever going to see. I know it's late in the season, but do you learn anything about your guys in a game like that? I mean, you've been with them for so long now and every day of this season, but do you learn anything new about your team when they come back and win a game like that and keep the season alive?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime you can work through adversity and watch your kids be successful, working through that adversity, you learn a lot about the kids that you're coaching. It's been like that all year with us. Our kids have really stepped up. We got behind in a couple of games and have fought back. And, we've had to hold the lead at the end a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I think that builds character. Now, not to say I want to get behind 21-0 this week. I'm just saying it does. It's good to see those kids fight through adversity.
Well, Auburn definitely did that again, beating Vestavia 52-41 in the first round of the 7A high school football playoffs. We got head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School Football with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. And because you won last week, you move on in the playoffs and you get to go in the quarterfinal round. And I wish we were back home at the Duck, but instead we got to make a 3.5-hour drive down to Mobile to take on the Daphne Trojans, coach, who beat Sparkman a week ago. What can you tell tell the fans at home about this Daphne team and what they'll put on the field tomorrow night?
They got a really good football team, you know, athletic. You know, they're tough. Got some really good receivers, you know, defensive end, got a really good defensive end, safety. You know, they got some good players. You know, they're 9-2. They've got a great football team. We just, you know, we got to go in and play well, do the little things right.
And it's a
not turn the ball over.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a long road trip down there for you and your guys. Again, we're all getting on the road right around noon or so tomorrow and driving down. And it's not the first long road trip of the year. I mean, we went to Dothan just a couple of weeks ago and, of course, had to go to Vestavia back earlier in the year. So does that take away any of the stresses of a long road trip for your guys?
No, I think that, you know, our guys know what's, you know, they understand what they're playing for. You know, it's win or go home now, and I think that they understand that. So I think that these guys will be ready to play, and, you know, you just got to continue to play well.
Well, I know you have been preparing for Daphne this week, again, playing that game tomorrow night on the road. But that win over Vestavia last week was your 200th win all time as a head coach in high school football. Have you had a chance to kind of sit back and relish in that a little bit and hopefully enjoy the moment a little bit, Coach?
Well, you know, it's always nice. But, you know, at this point in time, I'm not even worried about that stuff. I just want the next win, you know, because we want to advance. I want to spend more time with these kids. And every week you win, you get another week with this group of guys. And, you know, I think that we're going to, you know, if we can continue to move on, it just gives me extra time to spend with these guys and this coaching staff. It's been a blessing. You know, I've been, like you said, 200 wins. That's a lot of wins, you know, over 20-year span. And, you know, there's a lot of people that attributed to those wins, not only, you know, players and coaches and, you know, administrators and stuff. Shout out to my wife, you know. She's been with me through all of it. I told her the other night, I said, you got 200 wins too.
That's right. That's right.
So it's, you know, it was a blessing though. You know, and those 200 wins are a lot of hard work from a lot of different people. So just blessed to get to that milestone.
Well, congratulations to you and your family for that accomplishment last week. And I know you're hungry for the next one with Daphne coming up tomorrow night. Again, we'll have the full radio broadcast for you over on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, or that Radio Alabama app. I hope some Tiger fans hop in the car and drive down there, Coach. But if they don't, they have the radio broadcast where we'll be on the air tomorrow night, pregame 6:30 and kickoff at 7. And what's the – if there's one thing in particular that you're highlighting for your team that you have to do well against this Daphne team tomorrow night to move on, what would it be?
Just stay consistent, you know, get stops, take care of the football, you know, those things. Make sure that we're consistent, you know. I think that's the biggest thing. We talk about it all every week, pre-snap penalties, hold that down, you know, defensively make tackles. You know, we can't let their speed guys get out in space. They're electric when they get out in space. So we got to keep them hemmed up. And, you know, I think that, you know, we have some guys who can do that. So we just got to do that with it. You know, we talk about 200 wins. You know, we celebrated that 200 win thing the other night, and it was awesome. But I want 201. That's what I'm worried about right now.
Well, you have a chance to do it tomorrow night, Coach, when you take on the Trojans of Daphne on the road. Again, I know we got to do it, but there is a chance, right? If we win that game and the right team wins on the other side, we could be hosting a semifinal game at Duck Sanford Stadium. We won't get ahead of ourselves because we got business to take care of tomorrow, but an opportunity to play another one at the Duck this season. So you got to win to do that, and I hope we can do that. And I know you guys will be ready to play tomorrow night down on the road at Daphne, and always appreciate you and your time hopping on with us here, Coach.
No problem, brother. Appreciate you, Jacob. Thank y'all for everything y'all do. God bless. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. That's Auburn High's head football coach, Keith Etheridge, who joins us every Thursday during football season at 3 o'clock right here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Taking a look at this 7A bracket here momentarily before we get to break. You've got, of course, Auburn High and Daphne. If you're looking at the bracket, we're in the top right. Again, you can go to our station website and look at the high school playoff brackets if you want to for Lee Scott and for Auburn Auburn High at ESPNAU.com. Click on the sports tab, and then the playoff bracket tab, you'll see it up there, the postseason brackets, where Auburn High and Daphne in the top right, Baker and Opelika in the bottom right, so same side of the bracket. Opelika going to be hosting Baker tomorrow night there at Bulldog Stadium. I saw it's a blackout tomorrow, so they're going to be ready to go there at Opelika. And then on the other side of the bracket, you've got Thompson hosting Mary Montgomery, and then Central Phoenix City has to go to Fairhope. So how about that? The Red Devils and the Tigers playing, what, 20 minutes away from each other in the same round? Pretty crazy on what could happen there. The idea that Thompson and Central could play, and then Auburn High and Opelika could play. And if I'm looking at this properly, if Thompson and Central were to win, Thompson would have to go to Central because of the travel rules in the AHSAA, which, don't get me started on that because I think it's bad. But that is how that would go. And then on the other side, for us, if Auburn High wins and Opelika wins, it's the Tigers and the Dogs at Duck Sanford Stadium in the state semifinals. But if Auburn wins and Baker wins, it's my understanding that the Tigers would be heading right back down to Mobile for a state semifinal. So pretty crazy opportunities there and possibilities on what could happen in the 7A football playoffs. But Auburn High takes on Daphne tomorrow. Again, we're going to have the radio broadcast for you on the Auburn High Sports Network. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Hutton, I'll have that for you on Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, and that Radio Alabama app.
Thankfully, Auburn Network is just paying for your hotel all week, right? So
yeah, we're just staying at the beach.
See what the
yeah.
final is, and you're just going to hang out at the beach. And
yeah,
if Baker wins, just
I'll just
hang out there.
Yeah, I mean, I'll
remote shows. I heard you're taking me down there with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a frequent flyer to a city somewhere around there sometimes that I could just shoot on over to and have myself a good old time and just hang out and call football the next week. I'd be fine. Shoot, I'd be fine with that. That's fine.
You'd hate to have to make a little bit of money at a ball that spins. I mean, that's
I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So, yes, Auburn and Baker or Auburn
football,
and Daphne tomorrow night. It does spin. It does, in fact, spin. Auburn and Daphne tomorrow night, again, on the road for Auburn High School football, thanks to Coach Keith Etheridge. And, again, congratulations to him on his 200th win as a high school football coach. Do the easy math here, folks. 20 years, 200 wins. Means he's averaging 10 wins a season. That's incredible, over 20 years of work. So shout out to Coach Keith Etheridge, one of the best coaches in the game, one of the best people that you'll ever meet. We'll take a break, come back, and talk some more football before Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC joins us at 3:30. Phone lines are open momentarily. If you have something you want to contribute to today's show, something you want to talk about, give us a call right now, 334-321-1390. We're back after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN. Oh, my gosh. No, we're not. No, not even
okay.
close.
I mean, 20 minutes passed.
Here, turn my...
Here we go. Can I re... No, I'm not going to.
You can.
All right.
Take two, baby. Sorry, we were deep in scheduling discussions when we came back.
We were.
I mean, I got the calendar pulled out and everything. We're 20 minutes into the second hour of today's show. Yeah, there's no way to really come back from that. So
no, other than the fact of we were legitimately having hardcore
important
calendar discussions. As the return is playing.
That's on me. Hand up and accountability. Thank you to head coach Keith Etheridge of Auburn High School football for joining us, talking about the win over Vestavia Hills, his 200th in his career, as Auburn High goes 1-0 in the postseason, and their reward is to go down to Daphne tomorrow. So we're excited for that and looking forward to taking on the Trojans on the road. Again, we'll have the radio broadcast for you tomorrow night on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. And you will have postseason football going on tomorrow as well.
I do, yeah. Lee Scott Academy and Montgomery Academy. A battle of the academies. Might have to change the touchdown call because put six on the board for the academy.
For the good academy.
Yeah, that
for the right academy for the I don't know. Maybe not for the.
Just listen to Lee Scott Sports Network and tell by the tone the way that I say touchdown.
Put six on the board for the other academy.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna say it for every single touchdown that's scored, but you don't know which one.
Hmm.
Unless you listen to the drive.
What are they? Are they the Eagles? Is that right?
Yeah.
The Eagles? Is this the first Eagles that you guys have played this year? I know you've played
probably
a lot.
Probably. There's been just, I mean, the fact that they're not the Tigers is insane to think about. But no, Lee Scott Academy and Montgomery Academy over on AU 100.3, auhits.com, that Radio Alabama app. If you want to flip back and forth a couple of hours, but you don't know it on the Radio Alabama app between Montgomery and Florida, basically.
Huh?
Where you're going. I was saying, you know.
Well, it's more, we're closer to Mississippi than anything. We're going to Mobile.
That's right. The other side, yes.
We're going to the other side, yeah. We're going closer to the ocean in Mississippi than anything.
You'll be able
yeah.
to hear the ocean from the Radio Alabama app when you listen
probably
to
so.
Wings 94.3. Yep. We're not going to be that quite far, going up a little bit. But no, it's going to be an incredible game. Lee Scott Academy continues to make history just about every single time that they step on the football field, and right now they are making history every time that they snap the football. Montgomery Academy, one of the giants in 3A, one of the favorites probably to win the whole thing if they're a top three favorites in 3A, but Lee Scott Academy playing their best football right now. The win in the regular season, or to finish up the regular season, to cap it off with a win at Realtown in a game that nobody projected Lee Scott to really have a chance in. Talked with a bunch of guys that work with Bama Preps and AHS, FHS, and talking about how like 19 of the 20 combined people picked Realtown to win that football game.
Yeah.
And to win it easily, Lee Scott gets a come-from-behind victory and then a 42-14 win over Hale County in round one. You're playing your best football. What better time to do it? Lee Scott Academy is going to have to bring kind of their old-school traditional mentality back, I would assume, on the offensive side of the football, just based off the way that the coaches have talked about it, of long time consuming drives where your best offense or your offense is your best defense. I know Coach Jacob Osment would be perfectly fine with that as well. MA has a lot of talent, especially out wide with their receiver core. They love giving the guys jet sweeps, getting them out in space, and so it will be a very fun game to call, a very fun game to watch or to listen to. Again, over on AU 100.3, pregame at 6:30 with kickoff at 7, myself and my color commentator, Rhett Chrome. Nobody like him. Nobody like Mr. Chrome. You never know when you're going to learn really random facts on the Lee Scott Sports Network. Last week, we need to start having a segment. After every single Friday game, we need to have a Rhett Chrome segment on Monday's shows to tell you what I learned. Because last week,
I still don't believe what you're about to say.
Yeah, last week we apparently learned that heat lightning is not a thing. Don't ask me how I know that or how he knows that.
God,
we learned about Notasulgo versus Realtown. We've learned about the cold fronts. We've learned about if you have very dry falls with not a lot of rain, dew actually is worse. I don't ask questions. I just keep calling the football game.
Do you want me to deliver you some bad news?
I don't know.
He's right.
Heat lightning is not a real thing?
Is heat lightning real? No. Heat lightning is not a real type of lightning. It's a term for lightning from a distant thunderstorm that is too far away for the thunder to be heard. The name comes from the fact that these distant storms are often visible on hot, humid summer nights when the air can cause storms to develop and remain visible for long periods of time.
I'm telling you, if you ever want to go to trivia and you want somebody...
Okay, but here's what the National Weather Service says. The term heat lightning is commonly used to describe lightning from a distant thunderstorm just too far away to see. While many people incorrectly think that heat lightning is a specific type of lightning, it is simply the light produced by a distant thunderstorm.
You tried reading that as if it was going to counteract your point, and it kind of doubled down.
Yeah. Okay, but the little preview it's given me, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Again, another reason why you need to be listening to the Lee Scott Sports Network, because
it's a bad day when Rhett Chrome's right. Man.
That's what's annoying is it's every time, too.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, you don't challenge him. But if you want to learn random facts on national geographic of the Lee Scott Sports Network. That's the place to do it.
Yeah, so you guys take on Montgomery Academy. If you win, Lee Scott paired up with either Bayside Academy or Randolph County is the game below Lee Scott in the 3A bracket on the bottom left. If it's Lee Scott and Randolph County, that's a region game. That's a regional matchup if
it
you
is.
Were to take on Randolph County. Now, I believe that when it comes to regional matchups in the playoffs, the travel rule is not
it's
in
not
place.
A, no.
It just goes to the higher seed.
Correct.
Which would be Lee Scott.
It is. Both teams are big underdogs in the game. So,
yeah.
What a matchup it could possibly be, though, in round three.
That'd be cool.
If it was region 3A, region 4. We're about to get kicked out of here in just a little bit. We're going to have Chris Gordy, host of the SEC podcast, joining us here on the phone lines. But we get to Lonnie all the way down in Lochapoca. Lonnie, how you doing on this Thursday afternoon, knowing there's no Auburn football you got to stress about on Saturday?
I'm a little offended that y'all haven't talked about my Lochapoca Indians going 47-0 last weekend.
I mean, they're just so far down there and so far out of the picture, Lonnie. I mean,
well,
I'm messing with
boys
you.
Boys are pretty good now. I'm telling you,
they are. That Lochapoca team's no joke now.
They can put up some points on you.
Yeah. Yes, they can.
Unlike a certain coach that we just let go.
Lochapoca's got what? Providence Christian this Friday? Is that right?
That's correct.
We got Lonnie on right now. We got to get to Chris.
We need to figure out who Lochapoca's see if Lochapoca's offensive coordinator wants to come to Auburn.
Yeah, I think he's looking for a bigger job. Think he's looking for a different job, Lonnie?
I bet he could do better than that hack we hired.
Oh, my gosh. What's up, Lonnie?
I do want to ask this though, and I'm really being serious when I'm asking this. What was Hugh Freeze doing the whole time he was at Auburn?
Yeah,
you know the answer to that.
I mean,
Moore's Mittens.
Playing golf.
It's baffling.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like I have not called in since the Vandy game, and there's no explanation for what happened in that Vandy game, or there's no question that you can ask after watching the Vandy game other than what in the HE double hockey sticks was Hugh Freeze doing the entire time he was at Auburn?
Yeah, it's almost unexplainable, right? I mean, it's almost to the fact of you genuinely would like the opportunity to have that conversation with him with no repercussions, right? No judgmenting things. It's just like, hey, man, like, what was the deal? What was the problem? Because,
well, I've heard from two different sources that don't even know each other that are pretty, both of them pretty close to people in the athletic department, that he not only was not in offensive staff meetings at pivotal times, but particularly in reference to the Oklahoma game, had some scripted plays at the beginning, and then after that was calling a bunch of plays that were not even practiced that week, and that the player, there was so much confusion. And you saw Derek Nix's comment after Vandy, what did he say? It felt like we were on the same page for the first time in a long time or something like that. That makes me wonder, like, have they released, or are they under obligation to release what Hugh Freeze's buyout is going to be? Are they still negotiating that? Do we know, like, is there a reporter out there that has the gall or the you-know-what to ask that question to John Cohen? Because I'm wondering if he's not showing up in offensive staff meetings, is that a four calls firing?
Yeah, basically,
almost like a probable cause.
Yeah, fire with cause. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The last that I heard is that he was going to get the entire buyout of about 15 or 16. But I don't think you're far off in hearing those not reports, but those rumblings about.
Yeah, the speculations. And
yeah, that's the word.
For some odd reason, it makes a lot of sense. And it brings some sort of, not comfort, but it brings some sort of understanding of why everything looked so discombobulated every single time the offense was on the field.
Well, all I'm going to say is this, and I know that there are a lot of other Auburn fans that feel this way because we're tired of being taken advantage of, particularly with how everything has been just overly monetized over there. But if that man gets his full buyout, they're not getting another dollar from me. Not one. So, with that said, War Eagle, good talking to you guys.
Appreciate the call, Lonnie. Always appreciate you listening and being a part of the show. 334-321-1390. We need to get to break. We've got Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC coming up.
We do. Well, shout out Lochipoca beating Goshen 47-0 in the first round on the road, hosting Providence Christian in round two.
The Lochipoca Indians, baby. Hey, that small town, hard-hitting football right there, Lochipoca. You don't want to mess with them. Lee Scott knows a little bit of that Lochipoca.
We do, yeah. Back-to-back years went pretty nicely for Lee Scott Academy both those times.
I would say so. Okay, we got to get to break. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC, he joins us coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got about 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Running a couple of minutes behind, but that is okay. We are totally fine with that. Lonnie was in on the phone lines before we went to break, and now we get to our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. And man, I don't know what we're going to talk about today since Auburn football doesn't have a game they can lose this weekend. Chris, what in the world are we going to do?
Well, first off, that caller was me. I was calling in as an alias under Lonnie. So, yeah, man, it's wild. I mean, I thought DJ Durkin was going to have them ready to play. I said it. Our guy Jake Crane called for the outright upset last week. He's like, Auburn is going to let the ball fly. That offense is going to score points. Well, he was right on that end, but I don't think anybody could have expected that DJ Durkin, of all people, would have a hard time slowing down Diego Pavia. So, it sucks. Yet another close loss for Auburn. I think Auburn leads the country the last 3 years in close losses.
Well, the conversation coming out of that game, and we won't go too deep into this, but it was the idea that it's not a coincidence, right, that the Auburn offense looks the best it has in 2.5 years. The first game, Hugh Freeze isn't there calling plays, and it's also not a coincidence that when DJ Durkin has more responsibilities than just the defensive coordinator role, the defense has the worst performance it's had in 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate because, again, I really thought they were going to win the way Ashton Daniels was moving the football. But, yeah, I mean, all those things are true. I mean, Hugh may jump in and tell you, well, we tied our total from week one against Baylor, although there was a special teams touchdown in there. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that kind of takes a knock on the DJ Durkin getting the full-time job movement, if people are in that boat, because it kind of becomes – hey, we got to keep this guy because of the defense. Well, you know, kind of argument will become, well, if he's the head guy, are we going to lose focus and attention on the defense and it's going to look like that? I don't think that's the case. I mean, to me, that was more an indictment on Diego Pavia is awesome. And sure. I'll say right now, I think he deserves an invite to New York and the Heisman ceremony. I don't know if he's going to win it, but he's been that special this year. So to me, it was more an indictment on him than the Auburn defense.
You talked about the shots taken at Durkin and whether or not this game plays a big factor of him wanting or getting that head coaching job at Auburn. There's been even more decisions that are being made and having to be made with him and the offensive staff about now the quarterback decision. And how funny is it that life just comes full circle that as soon as Auburn has a successful quarterback performance, you now have to wonder if he's going to play the next week just because of Ashton being able to play one of the next two games and keep his red shirt. You then still have Jackson Arnold, Deuce Knight that could play against Mercer. Do you have a personal opinion on that. Do you allow Ashton to have 2-3 weeks to study for Bama and be able to keep his red shirt for next year? Or if you're Coach DJ Durkin, do you need to do everything that you can do this year to win out and try and prove your case to be the Auburn football coach for the following season?
Yeah, I've seen both arguments made. Look, I've been calling for all season, seeing Deuce Knight in some capacity. So I've seen a few people say, just, you know, let Deuce Knight start and see what you have in him, because this is about building for the future and having something to believe in. And if Deuce Knight, you know, it's Mercer, but if Deuce Knight looks good, okay, that's the guy of the future. And you know what? He's going to be our starting quarterback all next season. You know, you can make that move. The other part of it is, you know, I think you want to go all in on trying to win these last few games. And like we said, for DJ Durkin's wanting to earn that job, he would love nothing more to beat that than to beat Alabama. And I've heard several people say if he beats Alabama, it is his job. You know, I don't know how you would come out of that Iron Bowl of DJ Durkin leading Auburn to a win over Alabama and going, hey, man, thanks for all you did. Anyway, there's the door. We're going to go hire somebody else. I mean, to me, that's a tough sell to say that. But I mean, you almost look at it as the Mercer game is a dress rehearsal for the Alabama game. You know, whatever your game plan is or whatever you want to do, you know, let's go execute it against Mercer and get ready as a warm-up game for the game against Alabama. So I can view it both ways. But at the end of the day, I know Durkin's trying to win as many games as he can down the stretch.
It's a conversation that Jacob and I have had a little bit on the show, a little bit more off air, and just wanted your professional opinion on it from the standpoint of the Auburn fan base, of the concern just at quarterback spot for the future, right? If Ashton gets redshirted, him being at Auburn next year, if whoever the head coach is brings in a quarterback, could that run Deuce Knight out if Jackson Arnold decides to walk? I mean, what are the legitimate concerns, obviously, looking at this season now with a grain of salt, but looking at next season on what the quarterback spot could be for the Auburn Tigers here in the future?
Yeah, I think I mean, the reality is we're in a year-to-year league. I mean, I don't know if I don't know if you can plan out, oh, okay, this is going to be our guy of the future. Oh, it's because you don't know if he's going to be back. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. Is the minute you fired Hugh Freeze, the minute LSU fired Brian Kelly, the minute Sam Pittman got fired at Arkansas, you open the door for the potential to lose all these guys on this roster. That's just what it is. So, you know, and that's the other part, too. I know some people were made a case for Durkin because, oh, he's going to keep this thing afloat. He's going to keep all these guys here. He's going to bring everybody back. And my case is, whoever you hire for the next coach, you want that guy to be the best guy for the next 4 to 5 years at Auburn, not just for 2026. So if you're making decisions based on just 2026, that's probably not the right decision. You want to hire the best guy for the next 4 to 5 years. And if you lose guys through the portal, if you lose Cam Coleman and you lose Deuce Knight, I'm sorry, at the end of the day, you got to live with that, because the hire you make has to be the guy that's the right guy for this job, not just the guy that's going to hang on to the stud wide receiver.
We're talking with Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast here on ESPN 106.7. Let's zoom out a little bit and look at the SEC as a whole and talk about something that Auburn is not a part of, which is the college football playoff discussion, where the SEC's got several teams involved: Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss. What did you think about this week's rankings, the bracket that comes from it, and what the committee might be telling us about the SEC coming down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, this thing is still very much wide open. I was trying to dissect the tiebreakers and all that. People are trying to explain it to me. I'm just like, I don't know. Let's get through this weekend, and then I think we'll have a clearer picture, right? Because if Georgia beats Texas, then Texas is completely eliminated from the discussion. But if Texas wins, they're still alive with one SEC loss. Georgia's out of the SEC championship picture with two SEC losses at that point. Ole Miss, I feel pretty good about their chances to beat Florida this weekend. So they win that one, and then it's all about the Egg Bowl. But again, if Ole Miss loses the Egg Bowl, then they're out of the picture. And A&M is sitting the prettiest right now. They are undefeated in the conference, but of course have a potential to lose that season finale against Texas. So a lot still to be decided here. Alabama, you know, yes, they have the one loss, but it was out of conference to Florida State, so they're undefeated in the conference. So you feel pretty good if Bama beats Oklahoma, you know, again, barring an Iron Bowl loss to Auburn, we'll see what happens. But obviously, you know, if you have a bunch of one-loss teams in the conference, tiebreakers will come into the equation, head-to-head and all that. And it gets very interesting because head-to-head, A&M didn't play Alabama or Georgia or Ole Miss. So, you know, I'll be really curious to see how this all shakes out. And I think some teams might be saying, you know what, we're fine not going to Atlanta. We'd prefer not to. We could use the week off to rest up.
The way that I look at it, Chris, is that the SEC is going to get shafted because I don't think Notre Dame deserves to be in the playoff, and I don't think this is the year a G5 team deserves to be in the playoff. But those two spots, I think, will end up taking bids from the SEC. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, you're right, and this is why everybody has been yelling for the last couple of years, Notre Dame, join a damn conference. You know, I mean, they should get their ass in the ACC like they are in the other sports, and it's an absolute joke. I mean, I give them credit for going out and scheduling two tough teams in Miami and A&M to open up the season, and they lost both those games. But ever since then, it's a bunch of Navy and Boston College and Boise State and NC State. I mean, it's, you know, they have not tested themselves. You know, they do have, I guess, what looks on paper like a tough team in Pitt this weekend. But, I mean, did anybody look at Pitt at all this year? Do they have any, you know, like they just crept into the top 25. So I feel like they almost did that just to give Notre Dame another top 25 win to kind of improve their resume. Because after that, it's Syracuse and Stanford, and it's a joke. So, yeah, I think you're right on that. And the other thing to watch, guys, is conference championship weekend. We saw the ACC stole another bid last year because SMU was the team that was in. They lose on a last-second field goal to Clemson. Clemson then steals the bid as the ACC champ, and SMU still got in. So I think that certainly could happen again this year where the lesser team in the Big Ten title game wins the Big Ten, and they get in, and Ohio State gets in. You know, so I could see that happening in a couple different conferences.
The SEC will have so many teams that could qualify for the playoff that they won't all get in because it has to be fair across the board for other conferences to be represented. A wild thought in college football here in 2025. Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. Before we let you go, I know football season is king still, but college basketball season's underway. Every team about three or four games in. Any early takeaways from what we've seen? You've got several teams ranked in the top 25. Alabama with a big one tonight against Purdue. Auburn takes on Houston this Sunday. Kentucky drops one to Louisville. I mean, any early takeaways from SEC college basketball?
Yeah, I just think it's very early, and these teams are very green. You know, Arkansas, watched them against Michigan State. You know, they let their guard down at the end. Kentucky dug a big hole at Louisville. They fought back. They made it close, but at the end of the day, they're not there yet. And Auburn, I think, is going to get a real reality check on Sunday against the Houston team. That is freaking awesome. I got to see them a little bit in their game against Towson, and man, they got a couple big guys, freshmen that are look. Chris Cenac Jr. is a freshman from the New Orleans area. He was a 5-star. He looks like an absolute stud. Emmanuel Sharp can still fill up the basket. So I've had a few people ask me about that game on Sunday, and I know Auburn is ranked right now, but unfortunately, I think they'll take an early season loss in that one because I think Houston is just that good this year.
Don't forget how this game went a year ago, Chris. That's all I'll say. Don't forget who won last year.
Yeah, different teams, and again, a big test for Stephen Pearl. Man, we were a little nervous in that Bethune-Cookman game a week ago, but yeah, it's a transition. Transitions take time. And so, look, if Auburn takes a couple of early season non-con losses, I wouldn't freak out. The hope is just that they find their stride when they get to SEC play.
Well, it's going to be fun on Sunday for Auburn men's basketball, and then football back in action next week on Saturday against Mercer. And then when we talk to you next, we'll get an updated list from Chris Gordy on who Auburn should hire as their next head football coach, okay?
Oh, yeah, John Summerall. End of story.
Oh, okay. You're in the Summerall camp, huh?
Yep.
Okay.
I think he's the guy.
Okay. We'll talk about it next week. Hey, man, plug it all. Tell people where they can find you before we let you go.
Yeah, Locked On SEC. We had Mike Griffith from Dog Nation on today talking with him about the Georgia-Texas game. We got Fonte Whitaker on the show tomorrow. He's our celebrity guest picker. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Bill Connolly from ESPN was on last week. He went 6-1 in his guest picks. So
wow.
We're getting a lot of guys tied at the top at 6-1. So it's going to be fun to see how this plays out.
All right, go check it out. Locked On SEC on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Chris, we appreciate the time as always, my man.
All right, fellas. See ya.
Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Final show of the week. We are not on the air for the show tomorrow. We'll tell you more about that coming up in just a moment. Recap the show and do all of our house cleaning work on the way out. But let's get to the phone lines for the final time today. 334-321-1390. And we got our man Dak who's been holding on through the break. What's going on, brother? I got about 2 minutes for you.
I got you, man. It's good listening to Coach Etheridge and listening to the big win last week.
Yeah.
They had a really good game. They made some really good adjustments at the end of the first quarter to really come back on Vestavia. Very good and well-coached Vestavia team.
So, very much so. Yep.
Shout out to Auburn High School and Coach Etheridge. My question is, did you get to ask him, and I hate to get ahead because you don't want to jinx him, but if we win and Baker wins, where would the game be next week?
It's my understanding, Dak, that we would have to go back to Baker. We would have to go back to Mobile and play at Baker because
– Baker's number one seed.
Correct. Baker's the number one seed out of their region, and both teams would have traveled the same amount of time, so then it goes to the higher seed, which would be Baker, yes.
Right, and but I couldn't find anywhere because both them and Mary Montgomery have the same record, and I knew Baker beat them. But a lot of the information online and stuff had Mary Montgomery the first seed, but I knew that couldn't be right. But anyway, I was just checking. So maybe Opelika will pull an upset and we'll be at home then.
Yeah, it would definitely be an upset, I think, for Opelika to win that game. But they are at home. That's at Bulldog Stadium, so you never know. And that
absolutely
would set up.
And look, man, we both know this region is the toughest region in the state.
Yep.
So they got a chance to beat Mary Montgomery.
Yes, they do. They're playing. Opelika plays Baker at home.
Baker.
Baker. And then, that would
set
up.
They got a chance to beat Baker.
Yeah, they do. And it would set up for Auburn Opelika at the Duck, Dak. It'd be a Duck
Sanford.
Oh, my
gosh. Can you imagine that stadium next week if that happens?
It would be a miracle. Hey, we gotta win first, though. Got to win our game tomorrow night.
You're right. Don't want to get the cart before the horse.
That's right.
All right, guys.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, Dak. Appreciate you being a loyal listener and a big-time caller as well, 334-321-1390. So speaking of high school football, all right, we got to plug it on the way out. We are not here tomorrow, okay? This is our final show of the week. The Max Roundtable's back tomorrow. The Drive is on today and tomorrow, but we are not on the air from 2 to 4. Our friends Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio will have our time slot, okay? We're on the road traveling. Christian, you're in Montgomery for Lee Scott Academy against Montgomery Academy on AU 100.3.
Yeah, going to be a very, very fun game. Battle of the Academies, Lee Scott and Montgomery Academy. Lee Scott new to 3A. Montgomery Academy, a giant of 3A. So it's going to take a lot, but my goodness, this Warrior team playing the best football they've played all season long. Man, you'll take your chances. Do the best you can. Shrink the game. Find the end zone a couple of times and play really good defense. 6:30 pregame, kickoff at 7, AU 100.3, auhits.com, and the Radio Alabama app.
And then we're on the air tomorrow on Wings 94.3, same times, pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Auburn High on the road at Daphne. It's the Tigers and the Trojans. We're a round ahead in 7A, so this is the quarterfinals for 7A, so a big one tomorrow night in Daphne and a big one in Montgomery as well. Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com. Download that Radio Alabama app. You can listen to both of our games. But the Drive's coming up next. The Max Roundtable and the Drive are here tomorrow. We're back in the studio on Monday. All right, we'll talk about this and talk about a bye week for football, basketball, and a whole lot more. 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.